Chapter 3. Undine. The Pontoon Shanties. It was raining meteorites, large meteorites. Allegra watched the incandescent rocks, too many to count, stream from the sky. The heavens were a patchwork of crossing dust trails, while the air trembled with a sonic boom of descents. Staring out across the chromatic water, Allegra could see the distant silhouette of Hive Galatai, mist-cloaked, massive, and falling into the polluted sea. Hive Tyche may have been the Hive Primus, but Galatai was older and bigger, and, like the capital, Hive Galatai had suffered the gravity quakes and disturbances. Vast tidal waves had done for Hive's Arethusa and Thetis, but it was the trembling seabed and ruptured hydrothermics that toppled Great Galatai. Above the ghost of the falling Hive, a new moon had risen over the ocean Hive world of Undine, a black and impossible thing that held its ugly station above the planet. Its cratered surface made it appear as though it had a misshapen face. Two eyes, one larger than the other, and a crooked valley fracture for a nose. Its southern hemisphere was delineated by the iron glint of a colossal metal jaw fixed to the moon's circumference. Allegra had seen alien brutes wear such contraptions in place of jaws torn from their monstrous faces. Terrified hivers were calling it the Trapjaw Moon. "Commander?" As suggested by the flooded underhive, sea levels had risen with the gravitic perversions. The hive's island foundations had been buried beneath the chemical cocktail that was Undine's oceans, and the pontoon shanties, smashed and tangled with weed, had risen to cluster shunt about the hive walls. Beyond, the meteorites were hammering the ocean surface. Great eruptions of water and spray marked their landings before their great weight contributed to their continued descent. Watching several of the nearest splash impacts, the commander came to realize that they weren't all streaming rocks. Some were armor-plated pods and capsules. An invasion had begun in overwhelming earnest. Without Great Undine herself inviting the alien savages into her dark ocean world depths, the monsters would already have swamped the planet. Allegra watched as the engine-mounted asteroids and Junker pods carried their raging Xenos payloads down below the waves. "Commander!" Stumbling around and looking up the shell face of the hive, Allegra saw that the spire had been demolished. Feathered sea raptors swooped and dived in search of their missing nests. Allegra turned again, and then she saw them. Scrambling out of the shallows in a constant stream, like the unkillable bastards they were thousands of hulking orcs. Their skin glistened wet over their fearful brawn, and their beady eyes were red with unreasoning alien rage. Like the starved vermin of the stars, they clambered and swarmed. The green-skinned beasts hauled themselves up the tottering architecture and busy accretia of the city's shell. They scrambled over each other, the mass of claws, arms and jaws, snapping and scraping its way upwards like a living geyser of green flesh, gushing its way up the hive wall. Greater beasts still mounted the writhing column of muscle, climbing monstrously over their Xenos kin. Beetle-backed landers, belching black smoke, hovered in the cavernous mouths of rocket-mauled entry points. There they delivered further mobs of monstrous brutality and orc chieftains buried in exoskeletal suits of plate and piston. They could smell the herds of terror-stricken humanity hiding within the Byzantine dereliction of the hive. They climbed. They roared. The beast bawled its fury through the combined thunder of their barrel chests. "Lux!" Chief Galander shouted. The intimacy of first names brought the commander back from the breathtaking dread of the spectacle.
"Chief," Allegra barked back, "establish a perimeter. Our backs to the wall."
She looked to the dribble of minor aristocrats and hangers-on stumbling out into the daylight. There were no words to describe the horror on their powdered faces. As members of the Undine 41st Maritime splashed down into the shadows of the chief's bawling order, Allegra called out,
"Gunner to deck!"
The gunner fell out of line, his las rifle snug at his chin, his eyes staring down his sights at the greenskin hordes about them. Holding her pistol upright, Allegra stepped behind the gunner and cranked the master vox that Dudek was humping on his back. Snatching an ear horn and hailer from the pack, she shouted above the roar of the beasts and waves, "Capricorn 6! Capricorn 6! This is Commander Allegra! Respond!" Allegra waited as Lyle Golander splashed forwards with his gunners, assuming positions about the Commander and Lord Governor amongst the wet and busy architecture. "Capricorn 6!" she persisted. "This is Commander Allegra with the Undine 41st! Screeching eagles!" The Xenos were everywhere. Allegra watched as monstrous multitudes emerged from the water, hoarding themselves up out of the waves. "We have acquired our target and are awaiting evacuation. Our position is 354, 52, 56. Primus north by northeast. Do you read, Capricorn?" The green bastards swarming all over the architecture could see them. Allegra felt their blood vision, their appetite, their need to smash and kill. Like rivers diverting and changing direction, the hordes came for them, hundreds upon hundreds of leathery beasts thundering up through the surf, rounding an artificial headland created by the domed roof of a freight barbican and skidding down through the grotesques and gargoyles of shellstone decoration. They ran at them like things of madness, all bared tooth and tusk. Allegra searched for hope. High above them, gunships and assault carriers were drifting about the hive heights, exchanging fire with the enemy swarms. Something big fired back from within the penetrated city shell, turning one of the aircraft into a tumbling fireball of death and wreckage. Out of the water, amongst the raining rocks and pods, was a maritime cutter, its prow-mounted inferno cannon bathing the shoreline masses in a stream of flame. Two shallow-hulled landing craft hit Hive City masonry further along the chemical coast. Their prow ramps crashed down to the surf, and platoons of maritime guard stormed upwards towards the dripping greenskins. Allegra saw the constellations of Lasfire. She watched as the grim determination of the soldiers' faces fell to fearful dread. Like the water washing back and forth up the shorelines, throngs of greenskin predators, newly risen from the depths, turned and thundered back at the shallows. The Lasfire intensified. The landing faltered. Marineers began stumbling back towards their craft, but nothing could save them. Drawn by the panic and the screams, surrounding monsters ran at the butchery, hacking limbs and bodies apart.
"Capricorn 6!" Allegra half pleaded.
"They're not coming," Chief Golander roared over the din. "Permission to open fire!" After days of power conservation, Allegra gave her men the order.
"Fire at will!"
The perimeter became a halo of scintillation. With power packs hot to the touch and las rifles unleashing beam snaps at full automatic, the maritime gunners made their stand. The greenskins didn't care. Their armor scraps and iron-hard flesh soaked up the curtain of light. Riddled bodies, searing and smoking, were stamped into the masonry by the racing hordes. Beasts barged and clawed at each other in primal desperation to be the first to land a kill. Fire from the guardsmen's rifles was punctuated by flash of the Spire Guardian's fusils and the repetitive pump crash of the enforcers' shotguns.
"Chief!"
Allegra called.
"I know!"
he barked back, but he hadn't seen it. He hadn't heard it. Amongst the cacophony of the brutes bearing down on his position and the drumming of his rapidly emptying assault rifle, the chief hadn't noticed the whine of approaching aircraft.
"No!"
Allegra shouted, adding to the barrage a stream of las bolts from her pistol.
"Look!"
Dropping out of the sky were a trio of Thunderbolt fighter bombers. They were zeroing in on the hive, coming in low and fast, which could only mean one thing. They were going to cleanse the shoreline.
"Fall back!"
Allegra called.
"Gunners, fall back!"
Allegra waved the Lord Governor's valets and inbreeds back through the maintenance opening. Tearing Dudek back with her by his vox pack, the commander backed with them. The chief finally clocked the approaching thunderbolts and echoed Allegra's order. Most of the marineers didn't need an excuse to run from the closing wall of blades, gaping barrels and green flesh. Some, like Gunners Friel and Lannoy, couldn't make themselves move. Whether it was fear or faith in their weapons, the guardsmen remained, burning streams of light into the rabid ranks. They were gone in moments, swallowed by the horde. There was no gallant defence, no sweeping bladework with broad bayonet or cutlass. The guardsmen were shreds in seconds. As Chief Golander pushed the last of the marineers into the maintenance opening, Allegra saw the roaring masses behind him accelerate up the rockcrete. The greenskins did not heed the thunderbolts screeching overhead. They did not see the mountain range of flame erupting up the shoreline behind them. Golander, Allegra, and Commander Sizikis slammed the opening cover shut. The hammer of claws on the metal was almost immediate, and the cover was briefly wrenched back open before the marineers were suddenly thrown back as a blast of overpressure from outside hurled it closed again. About them, the darkness of the tunnel quaked as the airstrike ripped its way up the shore. The scratching and frenetic thunder of fists on the metal covering died away, swallowed in the apocalyptic howl of destruction. Eyes glinted by the light of the few lamps the marineers had left. Precious moments passed. The Enforcer Commandant went to open the cover.
"Wait!"
Allegra ordered, drifting her ear towards the hot metal. Satisfied, she nodded. The Enforcer went to barge the covering open with one carapace arm at shoulder, but it all but fell off its roasted hinges. Smoke was swiftly clearing with the onshore breeze. As the soot and ash whirled in the wind, Allegra stepped out onto charred bodies. The shoreline was carpeted with blackened Xenos corpses. The commander found herself nodding with satisfaction, but she knew the beasts would be back, and in number. Offshore, Allegra could see a few remaining guardsmen swamped by orcs who were overrunning their battered landing craft. The maritime cutter that the commander had also been pinning her hopes on was now listing horribly as some green-skinned titan seized it from below. About the craft, the pontoon shanties in chaotic disarray had fragmented and were floating away from one another in ramshackle sections. The shoreline was overrun, and the absence of their assigned evacuation had been a blow, but Allegra couldn't afford to wait any longer. The screeching eagles simply couldn't hold the perimeter. "The pontoons!" the commander ordered. "Make for the pontoons!" Directing the remaining guardsmen into two columns, Golander barked at the Lord Governor and his freakish retinue to run into the shallows. Many of the Spireborns had never been near the waters for fear of pollutant contamination. They were not keen on stumbling into the chemical shallows, but the heart-stopping vision of green fiends stomping up through the cadavers of their monster kin lent the aristocrats resolve. Cutting a path through the surf with savage bursts of lasfire and lobbed frag grenades, Golander led the way through the hazards of emerging orcs. Clambering up the side of a pontoon platform bearing part of the shattered shanty, the chief took the frail Lord Governor from his exhausted valets and hauled him up onto the amphibious community. As the marineers and their charges climbed aboard, shanty wretches emerged from hiding. They extended emaciated arms and skeletal hands to help the screaming survivors, survivors they did not know were their palace-dwelling betters. Like some death-world reptile, a hulking greenskin tramped up the scorched shoreline towards the fleeing rescue party. It towered above the other examples of its species that were swarming up the coast. The creature grizzled to itself as it smashed the monstrous weapon it was heaving with a frustrated fist. It shook the rotor cannon, and water cascaded from the barrels. Another savage shake, and the weapon stuttered to reluctant life. The unexpected eruption of shells tore through the unfortunate greenskins in front before the creature angled its fire up the shore and cut the rescue party in half. With the shallows thrashing and spitting in the gunfire, Allegra fell forwards into the sea. She was only below the surface for a few seconds, but as she emerged, she felt her eyes burn and her skin sear from the chemicals in the water. Finding her way back to her feet, she started wading back towards the shore. Commandant Sizikis and a handful of guardsmen had been cut off by the wall of bullets unleashed by the advancing beast.
"Commander!"
Lyle Golander roared. There was nothing she could do, but she couldn't bring herself to turn her back on her men. It was over quickly. Greenskins bounded through desperate Lasfire to maul the Undine Marineers. Sazikis blasted through several thuggish creatures before his combat shotgun ran empty. Throwing the weapon at an orc bulldozing its way at him, the enforcer drew his crackling power maul. But as he readied himself to bury the weapon in the creature's domed skull, he did not see a larger monster cannon through the advancing ranks behind him. The beast smashed the enforcer to the side with one swing of its brute hammer. Suzuki's broken body landed some distance away in a mound of bloody bones and torn carapace. The sight brought Allegra to her senses, and she turned, striding through the shallows for the drifting shanty. Helped up onto the pontoon by one of the Lord Governor's spire guardians, Allegra looked up, searching for Chief Galander. Greenskins were clambering up the rusted metal drums and flotation tanks, only to meet the barrels of assault las rifles pointing down at them. A number broke through and charged wildly about the corrugated habs, multi-shacks and hovels, but were blasted off-board by the two remaining enforcers. The pontoon shanty was floating away from the hive, but not nearly fast enough. The blood-spattered landing craft now belonged to the orcs, and the cutter was sinking. The monstrous greenskin that had done for the vessel was aflame. There was fire on the water, with the inferno cannon's ruptured tanks bleeding promethium across the surface of the sea. With the craft conquered, the beast disappeared below the flickering waves, dousing its flame-tangled form. The thunderbolts were banking for another run, and orcs were leaping from a blasted city shell. Flailing green bodies tumbled the lethal distance to the roofs and rockreet below. Some creatures made it, however, latching on to drifting gunships and carriers with claws and brute prosthetics before smashing through into the cockpits and bringing the aircraft down. Worst of all, the hive was drowning in alien filth. Like a rampant mould growing up the city walls, greenskins were swarming the shell, rabid and unstoppable. The pontoon shanty would share a similar fate. A beast erupted from the water like a carnivorous fish, its jaws snapping. Pulling hard on the trigger, Allegra unloaded the rest of her power pack into the thing's face. Another had torn through the rickety walkway and was cannoning towards her. Las bolts from nearby guardsmen plucked at the monster, but did little to stop it. The patchwork floor bounced with its footsteps. Dropping the empty pistol and grabbing the wobbly support, Allegra leapt the rail, allowing the creature to thunder past. Just as she was about to climb back, a meaty claw grabbed her by the leg. An orc had her. She could feel the feral fury in its grip, its filthy fist enclosing the whole of her booted calf. It hauled itself up to meet her, its tusk-thronged maw mumbling some alien insanity. Allegra snatched for the only weapon she had left, her officer's hanger. It was a polite weapon, nothing like the brute blades she used in her former life. Its single, monomolecular edge was serviceable, however, and cleared its stubby scabbard with oiled ease. The blade slashed through the greenskin's exposed throat, giving even the mindless monster pause. It released her, and with the sole of her boot against its cavernous chest, she pushed it back into the water with a grunt. As she climbed up onto the pontoon shanty, the commander felt the structure lurch. A rock or capsule had plunged into the water nearby, rocking the section and knocking several terrified inhabitants into the water. It wasn't stopping the greenskins, however, who were surfacing from sinking pods and descent craft and climbing up the nearest structures they could find. "Lux!" she heard as she wiped and resheathed her bloody hanger. It was Galander. The chief was on a bent and rusty balcony above, tangled in washing lines and rags. Gunner Dudek was with him, and the Lord Governor's skeletal arm was draped across the Vox officer's shoulder. Galander dropped Dudek's assault rifle down to Allegra, and she caught it in both hands. She called up to him.
"Get Borghese higher!"
she ordered.
"What about you?"
the chief roared back over the chaos.
"I'm coming!"
she told him. Checking the las rifle's depleted power pack and priming it to fire on full automatic, Allegra shouldered the weapon and began a messy climb of the shanty structure. Two floors up, and the profusion of purchase offered by the ramshackle habshacks and walkways allowed the commander to make good progress. Occasionally, she hooked her flak armor on protruding struts or exposed rivets of the structure. In the background, she could still hear the bark of enforcer shotguns and the staccato drum of lasbolts above. Greenskins, frothing at the moor, had made equally economic climbs and were savaging the dwindling party of guardsmen and survivors making their way up through the shanty. Risking a glance below, Allegra saw that the pontoon levels were completely overrun. Like Hive Tyke, the shanty had succumbed to the greenskin swarms. The structure suddenly staggered, knocking Allegra from her precarious purchase. This wasn't the shockwave from a plunging rock or pod. Something had hit the shanty. Her arm slipped out of her rifle strap. She snatched for the stock and dangled from the lasgun's pistol grip by one hand. The strap had been caught on a rusted nail. As the shanty rocked, Allegra bounced off the corrugated wall of a shack. A greenskin, black, scarred and charred, had surfaced like a bear moth and punched through the pontoon hull of the shanty. As water cascaded from its gargantuan body, the beast swept derelict shacks and habs aside with one furious arm, knocking mobs of its own Xenos kin back into the shallows. One monster had the rabid audacity to roar its frustration, and the larger beast snatched it up in one titanic claw and snapped its carping head clean off its shoulders. Reaching up for the rifle with her other hand, Allegra found her way back to hand and boot holds on the shanty wall. Slipping the blessed rifle back over her shoulder, the commander climbed for her life, with a greenskin starting its own shanty-listing ascent behind her. The chief had reached the topmost hovels. In imitation of the hive cities they emulated, the highest habshacks boasted the most room and even welded terrace overhangs. They were like palaces compared to the corrugated coffins below. Golander and the remaining marineers were sending a storm of light down at the monstrous creature. Climbing up onto a creaking walkway, Allegra took her assault rifle and buried the stock in one shoulder. She could not allow the greenskin to reach the upper levels. It had not yet noticed her, the colossal orc's attention remaining firmly on its infuriated ascent and the stabbing burn of lasbeams into its already roasted flesh. Leaning into the rifle, the commander started to hammer the green, uncooked flesh of the beast's exposed belly. The searing wound eventually got the monster's attention, and it brought the full ugliness of its scorch-smeared face and blackened tusks down to the walkway. "That's right!" Allegra spat, sending a fresh volley of fire into the beast's melted maw. "On me, you bastard! On me!" The giant greenskin took the bait and roared a fetid gale of flesh breath at the commander. One huge fist smashed through the walkway. Allegra felt the wire mesh beneath her boots disappear and instinctively turned and clawed for the collapsing walkway. Her fingers found grating and she clung on, allowing her rifle to drop with the debris. The beast had not only knocked out the walkway, its fist had ripped away the entire corner section of the shanty level. Crawling up to where the walkway was barely hanging onto the collage walls, Allegra saw that the destruction had revealed the structure's innards. A little slum girl sat in the corner of her hovel, her eyes wide and white against the dirty mask of her terrified face. Allegra stared from the girl to the greenskin. The monster waded inwards through the dilapidated wreckage, forcing its mangled face through the jury-rigged architecture. "Here," Allegra soothed, opening her arms to the small, stricken child. The girl didn't move. The greenskin monstrosity was a nightmare spectacle that demanded her full attention. "Now!" the commander roared. There wasn't time for assuaging comforts. The creature closed. The child ran straight into Allegra's arms. "Hold on," she told the child, as the slum girl wrapped her arms around Allegra's neck and clung to her back. Allegra stepped up onto the walkway rail and began climbing for the shanty stack. A monstrous growl built up within the great greenskin and echoed about the dereliction before the beast withdrew itself from the ruined structure. Allegra felt the rumble of the monster's movements on the other side of the accretion. She climbed for all she was worth, with a child hanging from her back.
Chief! She called up at the terrace, but he was nowhere to be seen.
Anybody!
The gunfire had stopped also. Allegra began to imagine the worst. Golander and the rescue party dead. Greenskins waiting for her at the end of an exhausting climb. The monster orc was suddenly there beside her. Both commander and child were suddenly enveloped in the thing's bestial roar of triumph as it clawed its way around the corner of the shanty.
Lyle!
Allegra screamed, but there wasn't anyone above her. The beast reached out for her. The shanty stack shook with sudden violence. The gargantuan greenskin was lost in a raging fireball. As the flame evaporated and the black cloud cleared, Allegra saw the waspish outline of a maritime guard gunship drift clear. Its nose cone flashed with the revolving barrels of its Gatling cannon. The greenskin monster, its back flayed of flesh from the gunship's rocket attack and drowning in fresh flames, retreated back around the corner, away from the punishing cannon fire. Stunned by the explosion, and with her ears still aching from the blast, Allegra scrambled up the last few levels of the shanty accretion. A few agonizing moments from the top, she found Golander and Gunnar Dudek. They were saying something, but she couldn't make it out. As they hauled her and the child up onto the scrap metal terrace, she saw Capricorn Six hovering just above, and the Undine Maritime Guard helping the Lord Governor and what remained of his inbred family aboard. Dudek went to take the child, but the girl wouldn't let go, instead crawling around to the commander's flak-armored front.
"It's okay,"
she said as Golander helped her towards the Valkyrie carrier. Only a few of her men remained, grim-faced but glad to see their commander. One of Siziki's enforcers had made it also, surrounded by a cluster of terrified slummers and urchins Golander had picked up on their ascent through the shanty stack. An officer jogged down the ramp and saluted Allegra. He introduced himself.
"Lieutenant Kale."
"What?"
"Lieutenant Kale," the officer repeated. "I have orders to take you and the Lord Governor to the General."
Allegra nodded and went to step on board.
"I'm not cleared for unauthorized civilians,"
the lieutenant said, indicating the child in the commander's arms and the shanty folk staring up at them, waiting to be slaughtered by climbing greenskins. Allegra went to reply, but a voice from behind beat her to it.
"Let the hivers aboard."
As Lieutenant Kale turned, Allegra saw Lord Governor Borghese strapped into a stretcher.
"That's an order, Lieutenant."
"Yes, sir,"
Kale replied, ordering his mariniers to admit the wretches. Lux Allegra collapsed against the troop bay wall with the little girl still in her arms. She felt Capricorn Six ascend, leaving the pontoon shanty to the rabid swarms of greenskins, and carry them high up into the Undinian skies. She felt the assault carrier bank from side to side as it negotiated the orc capsules and rocks raining from the heavens. Chief Golander allowed his flak-armored back to slide down the bay wall opposite. He watched Allegra with a slummer girl and found his way to a grizzled smile. Allegra smiled back. She enjoyed the moment of calm, the feeling of safety. The last few days had been a nightmarish hell. She'd found Borghese, as she had been ordered, and got him out of the hive. As the odds had grown against them, and as the alien apocalypse engulfed Undine, Allegra came to realize that she had not fought her way through the city, negotiated the flooded underhive, and fled the burning shore because of orders. She had fought to survive, just like she always had done. Somewhere along the way, she came to realize that it was no longer her survival that mattered. It wasn't even the survival of the child in her arms, freshly plucked from calamity. It was the child growing in her belly. Lyle Golander's child. The pair stared at each other across the beautiful silence of the troop bay.
"Commander,"
Dudek said. The silence shattered. Allegra watched the chief's smile widen. The gunner was standing at the narrow observation port in the bay wall. Heaving the slummer girl's head up onto one shoulder and getting to her feet, she joined Dudek by the port. Golanda moved up too. Capricorn 6 was flying high above the chromatic sheen of Undine's chemical seas, flanked by two gunships. Below, the commander and the two guardsmen could see a fleet of ocean-going vessels. There were fat troop carriers and medical freighters, escorted by silver-hulled monitors and heavily armed corvettes. Multi-hulled launch carriers bearing arc platforms of Avenger strike fighters dominated the armada, trailing squat bomb vessels and torpedo boats in formation, while gunships and carriers ferried surviving personnel and material back to sleek gunboats and pocket frigates. Lux Allegra slowly shook her head. Ordinarily, such a gathering of local defense force and Undine maritime vessels would have been an impressive sight. Allegra thought on the trapjaw moon glowering down on them and the vanguard hordes of greenskin monsters they had faced at Hive Tyche. She thought on the alien swarm raining down on the ocean world and the billions she suspected were to come. "It's not enough," Lux Allegra murmured, the ghost of the smile fading from her lips. "It's not nearly enough."